You're listening to the Professional Brotherhood Podcast, because when the alarm sounds, nobody cares if you're career or volunteer. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Professional Brotherhood Podcast. Hello, Kara. Good evening. Welcome good back. Evening.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Great to be here. Well, I feel like I have to have like a welcome back jingle for every time you know.
I'm making a return appearance.
Grace us with your co-hosting appearances.
And you wonder why I dip every episode. I come back, you know, stay for the sarcasm, come back.
That's the best part of it, right? And I'm happy to welcome back Tim Ahern. Tim joined us a while ago. We were just discussing this prior to hitting the record button and kicking off the episode. It was episode number 68, which was back in November. And here we are. This is going to be, what did I say? Episode 96. Is that what I just said? I think 96. Yeah. So Tim, welcome back. Pleasure to have you again. Thank you for joining us.
Brian, thank you. It's a real honor to be back. Thank you, Kara. Thank you, Brian. I really applaud what you're doing here to help our fire service.
Well, we could not do it without great people to talk to. And, you're one of those people, and I'm honored to have you back on the show with us again. The first episode that we did together, we named Eagles and Ducks, which fell in line with our conversation that we had that evening, and it got a lot of positive feedback. Tons of messages. I know I got a lot of messages. I know Kara got a lot of messages. You know, people just saying what a great episode it was and what kind of, how many, you know, different nuggets they took away from that episode, which, look, that's what it's all about. You know, this has really been a fun ride. And what makes it so much fun is actually realizing that you're making a difference and people are getting something out of the content you're putting out. And in order to do that, we need great people to talk to. So thank
very
you.
Very kind, Brian.
Yeah. Well,
very kind. Hey, I'd like to dedicate tonight's podcast. I was looking up some numbers today in my office. I want to dedicate this podcast, 96 line of duty deaths impacted the fire service in 2020. 35 of those were COVID related. Dedicated to the 36 year-to-date line of duty deaths we've had so far in 2021. And I just want to celebrate this incredible profession that you've dedicated so much of your time to try and help us improve. There's 1,115,000 firefighters in the US, 33% or 370,000 are paid, 67% or 745,000 are volunteer. There's 328 million people in the United States. So when the tones go off, 0.3% of the population across this country are those that get up to answer the call. So anything you're doing, Brian, you're doing, Kara, whether it's to try and help our firefighters be better prepared, take care of them mentally, take care of them physically, just leave a place for them to find encouragement or inspiration, I think is critical. You know, you worry who will answer the call, you know,
sure.
You know, mm-hmm. So it's, and last time we spoke, it's about leadership. Everything rises and falls on leadership. So we've got a very, very small percentage of the population willing to do this work, and the leader, everything's going to rise and fall on the leadership.
Yeah.
And we did talk a lot about eagles and ducks on the last session. And I don't think anybody intentionally wakes up in the morning and says, you know, I want to go be a duck today and I want to just harass people and I want to be an energy draining, parasitic, blood sucking, card carrying member of the bitch moaning complaint club. I don't think anybody gets up in the morning and decides that.
No, I agree.
But I think we get beat up Brian, Kara, I think we get, you know, worn down. And I think, you know, we're in the gerbil wheel of life, running at the speed of heat with our hair on fire. And Monday looks like Tuesday. Tuesday looks like Wednesday. All of your audience, they've got, you know, full-time jobs. They're trying to raise a family. They're taking care of elderly parents. They're trying to raise kids. They're trying to drop kids off and pick kids up. They're trying to pay their bills. They're trying to save for retirement. They're in the gerbil wheel, speed of heat, hair on fire. And God forbid they turn on the news and watch CNN for 30 minutes, bombarded with all this negativity. You know, if they pick up the paper and read the headline stories, it's all bad. So I think people get distracted and they get sucked into a place where they really don't want to be. And sometimes they're not even aware that that's where they ended up.
Yeah.
And our discussion last time and tonight hopefully can be just a wake-up call. And usually it's a checkup from the neck up, because a lot of this is all going on in our heads. It's a checkup from the neck up. What's going on in your head? And are you portraying the best version of you that is possible, despite all the things going on around you? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think that you're 100% right, Tim, that, you know, you kind of get on autopilot, right? Everybody just has that, you know, forward motion. And sometimes, and forward motion is good, you know, because we want to keep working towards our goals. And, but sometimes you lose sight of your goals and you lose sight of why you're doing what you're doing, because right. you're only moving. And you just get stuck in that movement pattern, and you're not stopping to look around you and doing that self check and checking in and you know, seeing if you remember why you're headed in that direction in the first place.
Correct. Yeah.
And you have to make a conscious decision to shift from autopilot. And that's really difficult for people to do once they get into that mindset for a good stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think that it's easy. Everybody finds themselves in that mindset on occasion, right? I don't care how positive you say you are or how focused you say you are. Like you said, Tim, I mean, just life can get you in that mindset at any point in time. Look, even for me running this platform, that, like, there's days where I'm like, what am I doing? Honestly, I'm like, I can't come up with a guest, or I don't know what to talk about, or I'm trying to find that perfect social media post. And I'm like, oh, this is, you know, it's, and then, you know, normally what reels me in is, you know, like we talked earlier about, you know, the messages from people, you'll get them out of the blue. You'll get a message from somebody who'll be like, hey, just want to let you know, I listened to whatever, or I saw this post and it made a difference for me. And thank you. And then all of a sudden it's like, whew, you know, you're reeled right back in into what made it important for you in the first place.
Right.
We speak in front of some big audiences on occasion. So we've had the 5,000 people or the 1,000 person group. Mm-hmm. And many times the message, and it's the same as your podcast, Brian, you know, listen, there may be 5,000 people in this room and 4,999 think it's a bunch of crap, and this is the biggest bunch of boo-rah they've ever heard in their entire life.
Right.
And it's a waste of 60 minutes of their heartbeats. But if there's one person in this room, you know, one person with courage is a majority.
Mm-hmm.
If there's one person listening to your podcast who's discouraged or disillusioned and this close to giving up, and you give that person some hope and some inspiration, and it helps them at home with their kids, and it helps them get up for work the next day, and it helps them come in with a different mindset at work, then it's worth it. You know,
yeah.
I'm okay if 4,999 say it sucked. It doesn't work that way. It does start to weed out some of the toxic people.
Mm-hmm.
I have my clients every day do their numbers, okay? Because we get sucked into this thing where most people live on Sunday aisle, and most people go to the grave with the music in their hearts. So I don't want you living on Sunday aisle, and I don't want you going to the grave with the music in your heart. So we have all our clients do their numbers. Now, the average man will live 27,375 days. The good news is for Kara, women might live a few days longer, but let's use the number. Let's use that number. 27,375. This year, we've had the largest decrease in average life expectancy that we've ever had in the U.S. since World War II. But 27,375. So I calculate how many days I've lived. I just celebrated a birthday. I've now lived 23,725 of my days, if I'm lucky. Now, we all go on calls and we answer an alert and someone didn't get to have 27,375.
Sure.
My business partner, Murphy, named his son after me. It was Timothy Patrick Murphy. I did the eulogy at his funeral when he died at 6 months. My business partner died at age 61, didn't get this many days. So I subtract my numbers from 27,375. If I'm lucky, I have 3,650 days left. I like to divide my numbers by seven. So I know I have 521 Sundays. If I'm lucky, I have 521 Sundays left. This podcast with Brian and Kara matters, and it's important. And every day, I want you to take this test. When you wake up in the morning, calculate your days. And I'm going to give you a one question multiple choice test. Remember high school when the teacher said, class, we got a surprise quiz today. And you're like, teach, don't drop a surprise quiz on me. And then the teacher says, but it's going to be a multiple choice test. You say, oh, great. Okay. I got a 25% chance of getting it right. And the teacher says, there's only one question. Teddy Roosevelt had a quote that I love. It's far better is it to dare mighty things and win glorious triumphs, even if checkered by failure, than to rank with those poor spirits who neither enjoy much nor suffer much because they live in a gray twilight that knows not victory nor defeat. Teddy gave that speech when he took a handpicked group of people, a small group of people like our 0.3 firefighters out there in America. He handpicked that team. He brought them down to Panama, site of a failed French project. 20,000 people died. It's impossible. You can't do this. It'll never happen. You got to cut through the mountain range. And he said that to the team that he brought down there. And if we could connect the Atlantic and Pacific Ocean, we'd be a world power. We would change world commerce. The United States could become all these things. So using that quote, the Dare Mighty Things quote, with the gift of each day, you have a choice. You can dare mighty things like Teddy talked about. You can do nothing. We all know people that check the do nothing box, right? Sure. Yep. I give them credit. At least they're honest. They'll come in and say, hey, boss, I have no intention of doing anything, but at least they're honest. You can dare mighty things. You can do nothing. You can pretend. Does anybody know people that pretend? They dress up nice. They get the whole family in the pew at church. They look like the perfect family. They're cursing each other in the parking lot. You know, people pretending they're at work and they're doing their Christmas list and they're, you know, on the blog and they're doing their thing. And then some people quit. Some people quit. Unfortunately, some people quit the fire service. Some people quit on their families. Some people quit on their relationships. With every day, we get a choice, you know, to pick, you know, in our relationships, our volunteer work, our paid work, whatever it is. We're asking people to be intentional with their days. And we're asking people to check that box. And we're asking people to try as much as they can to get out of the gerbil wheel that causes us to make a decision that's not in our best interest or the best interest of those around us. So, and again, it's just, you know, introspection. There's no quiz after your podcast tonight. There's no term paper due.
Yeah.
We're just asking all of our listeners, you know, I want you to grade yourself as we talk about some of these things and just grading ourselves. And we did talk a lot about eagles and ducks. So if we can just revisit that foundational piece and we'll dovetail off of that.
Sure.
You know, we started our firm back in 98. So it's been 23 years now of working with leadership development and high performance teamwork. You can check out our website, www.ahernmurphy.com, see the programs, the clients and all those things. But the world's overmanaged and underled. You manage inventory, you manage paper clips, you manage the motor pool, you manage the stock of foam you've got up in the warehouse, right?
Yep.
But you lead the people. So Our analogy is eagles are the leaders. The ducks are the run-of-the-mill managers. And eagles have followers. Eagles have people that want to follow them. Eagles focus on the people. Their first job, the first thing, when we do a position description with an eagle, their job one is people. Mm-hmm. They have personal power. They don't need titles. People would follow them no matter what. They say, hey, we got something that's going on Thanksgiving morning. Could you come out and help me at the station? Eagles use affirmation, encouragement, and support. Greatest tool in a leader's toolbox. Too many people wait for wakes to bring it out. Eagles speak in plurality. They're always talking about we and us. They're inclusive of the team. They inspire those around them. It comes from the Latin word inspirare. It means to infuse with air and life. Eagles infuse the room with air and life, yeah, while you've got the other side that's sucking the oxygen out of the room. Eagles are fire starters. We're going to talk about Albert Schweitzer quote tonight, which I love. I want you all to think of the fire starters in your life. Who are the people that lit the flame in you? Who are the people that saw things in you didn't see in yourself? Who are the people that believed in you when you didn't believe in yourself? Who were the 3 or 4 or 5 people that changed the whole trajectory of your life? I want you, your listeners, to write down the names. For me, it was Mrs. Carter, a fourth grade teacher. Then it was a sixth grade gym coach, Mr. Davidson. You know, it was my senior year varsity football coach, Coach Campbell. You know, write down the names of the people. My immigrant grandparents didn't speak English. So they light fires inside people. They make connections. Everyone communicates, few connect. It's a great book by John Maxwell. We're living in a world where you're bombarded with more information than in a week than people used to get in a lifetime. So with all this bombarding of information, our ability to connect with people is at an all-time low. So eagles know how to make connections with people. Eagles come in, even though there's 1,000 reasons it can't be done, eagles will find the 1 or 2 solutions to make it work. They're focused on solutions and they're stokers. They stoke the flame. Now our ducks, on the other hand, and we just graduated a class of leaders and a defense company. They make whiz-bang technology that make our jets undetectable and the ability to drop missiles on target. So they're really papered up smart engineering types, but right, they lack in some of the people skills. So we had to give them the eagle and duck thing. So this one dude comes in and makes his final presentation on ducks. Man, you're mean. Why are you so mean to ducks? And he's teaching the whole class about ducks. I said, hey, it's just an analogy. But ducks have subordinates. They talk about the people that work for them. They talk about the people that are under them. They talk about all the people that have less stripes than me. Ducks are always focused on the things. The eagles are focused on the people. Ducks use their authority. They're pointing at stripes. They're telling you higher on the chart than you. Ducks use fear, threat, and intimidation. There's a lot of screaming and yelling going on with ducks. It's all about me and I. They're using directing instead of inspiring. We get hired by people try and hire us, these duck companies, and they want us to go down and light fires under the people down in the factory. We don't light fires under people. We light fires in people. Ducks communicate. They'll use excuses like I sent you the email, CC'd you on the email to 500 people. Ducks only focus on the problems, and the ducks soak the flames. So there's our, you know, two lists, our polar extremes.
Sure.
And leadership, you know, leadership is an art of the heart that accomplishes more than the science of management says is possible. So the ducks are practicing a lot of science of management while the eagles understand this art of the heart. And you take some eagles with a team of people that are underdogs and they will make magic happen. My favorite example is William Wallace, Braveheart, high school kids dig Braveheart. We do these programs for high school kids.
Yeah.
They dig Braveheart. The SU lacrosse team used to come out for warmups and they'd play the soundtrack to Braveheart when they took the field and do their thing. Braveheart, the date was September 11th. It was September 11th, 1297, 2,000 peasants starving and outnumbered, armed with pitchforks and rakes on one side. And this was the Battle of Stirling Bridge. On one side of the hill, the world's largest, best trained army with full cavalry of 10,000 people is at the other hill. Now, if I pause right there and I get to the science of management people and say, tell me what is about to take place here on this mountainside. 2,000 peasants starving and outnumbered, led by a lion named William Wallace, against the world's finest, best trained military, 10,000 people. Pause, ask the science of management people what will happen. They'll tell you it's going to be a massacre.
Yep, absolutely.
Right? But the opposite happens. The 1980 US hockey team, a bunch of kids go to Lake Placid and they're going to play the Russian professional team. Same kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So let's pause there for a second and we'll head down whatever path you'd like to head down. We've kind of set the...
Kara, I saw you, it looked like you were just about to say something. So go ahead.
Well, Tim, I talked with Brian earlier and actually learned something, which, you know, I like to do occasionally. But we were talking about elections and in the volunteer side of things, or, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, obviously we have listeners that are career too, or a combination or a little bit of both.
Yeah.
So for promotion, you know, purposes, but typically this time of year, you know, January to April for a lot of volunteer services, you have new leadership coming on board, right?
Right.
You know, new lieutenants, first time, or people that have been promoted up the ranks, that kind of thing. And I think that sometimes when that's occurring, you get kind of a wide range, right? Like you get some people that are probably natural eagles, right? To use your analogy. Yeah. And so they kind of step in and they start to look at their staff and their people and say, how can I help my staff and my people? And mm-hmm. that's their focus and their goal as their first, you know, few months of the year as leaders. And then you have people that are ducks and maybe they aren't aware that they're ducks
right.
and they're struggling yeah. and they're not getting the response from their leadership style that they thought they were going to get because they have earned this position or have been voted into this position or have risen to this position. So what can we say for those folks that are maybe having some struggles and not recognizing where that's coming from?
Right. Well, I think what you're describing, Kara, isn't unique to the fire service. So if I go anywhere, you know, my business partner, Murphy, who's now passed, he used to laugh and tell me, you know, in the Air Force, when the brand new batch of second lieutenants would show up, and a lot of these are military academy guys. They came through, you know, Air Force Academy, or they came out of Harvard, Princeton, Yale. They came from all these great places and they got the bars on them now. And they would come in and like, why doesn't anybody listen to me? And, you know, he says his answer used to be, because you're a jack wagon. That's why, you know. the great organizations use mentorships to help develop their staff. So Kara, you do such a wonderful job with our mentorship program, with our young, especially our junior folks coming through the ranks, or any of our new people, you mentor match them. We find that same thing going on at the officer level in companies, in the military, or, you know, in the fire service. So just because you get elected as a second lieutenant at the elections, I would still, you know, have mentor matching going on even with the officer ranks.
That's excellent. Some, that's an excellent point.
You raise a good point. People don't realize they're a duck until we get in a room and we do eagles versus ducks and we have fun and we fill up the boards and we write it all down and people give examples of the boss they worked when they were in high school. And there's certain people in the room all of a sudden get really, really quiet because they realize, man, that list of things, that's everything that I do, you know. And there's no ability to make a change towards the positive until we are aware, right? You got to be aware of, you know, self-awareness and self-regulation are the two foundational building blocks of emotional intelligence. So you want to be an eagle, you better have high EQ, high emotional intelligence. We grade all candidates on three scores: IQ or technical skills, EQ or people skills, you know, art of the heart, and then AQ, adversity quotient. my favorite interview questions are, give me the worst adversity you've ever been through in your life. Tell them, you know, I want to hear about people that have been beaten up a little bit. You know, you got to rub shoulders with the world. You got to get your front teeth knocked in. You got to have adversity and setback. That's really character building. And a lot of these eagle traits come from that hardship. Right. So, you know, if we have people that aren't aware of how they come across, they have very low self-awareness of how they sound at a meeting. You know, sometimes we'll film people during these leadership sessions. The opening day, they get in front of the room and do introductions. We film it. We film them walking to the front of the room and just saying, hi, my name is Tim. I work at such and such a company. I've been there for this many years. Here's my current role. Here's my other leadership roles. Here's what I have going on. We'll film it from session one. We'll save it. We'll get about six or seven sessions in, and then we'll watch the tape first with no sound. Here's the message you send when you stand in front of a group of people. Now we'll turn the sound on. So Carrie, you raised a great point. Number one, if we don't have great self-awareness and we don't have self-regulation, you're going to have a hard time making this journey to eagle. We don't find any natural born eagles. When I go to the nursery at the hospitals we worked at and look at the babies, I don't see an inspiring baby next to the, you know, goal-oriented baby. You know, right, all the babies right. have the potential. And it's what happens to them as they go through life is where those skills start to really be developed. So if I had new leaders or new officers, you know, for many fire departments, paid and volunteer, we do a leadership retreat, and it's like once a year, and we go away and we remind ourselves of a lot of these things. Certainly in the corporate world, it's happening. Certainly in the military world, that's happening. You know, what it means to be a leader. And we did talk five levels of leadership.
Yes.
And when you're newly elected,
we got a lot of great comments and feedback about the five levels, and people were interested to hear about that.
Yeah.
One thing before you go too much further on this, you know, one thing that you could take this and also look, you know, we're looking at individuals, right? We're looking at people and personnel. You could look at organizations as a whole and classify them as eagle and duck organizations, you know, if you think about it. One of the things I've been having a lot of conversations on lately and doing a lot of instruction on lately is you know, setting volunteers up for success and recruitment right. and retention. And, yeah. you know, how every time, you know, it seems like every time we talk about recruitment and retention, it's, and Kara and I have talked about this, everything is handled from the negative aspect, you know?
Yeah.
Recruitment is low because there are too many training hours. There's too much of this. There's too much of that. Like, nobody ever comes at it from the positive aspect, you know, why, yeah. you know, how can we make it better? Not why is it so bad, you know, but right. when you look at this, the eagles and ducks, it directly correlates your people, right. And where they fall can directly affect your entire organization, which can make your entire organization an eagle or a duck as well.
Yeah. What nest are you in? Right.
Right.
Are you in
yeah, eagle nest? Exactly. Yeah.
Or are you in
yeah.
a duck nest?
Yeah. Right.
You know, that's the problem. And are you a duck in an eagle nest, or are right. you an eagle in a duck nest?
Is that the you know, right? Brian, what you're describing really is the culture of an organization.
Yeah, so, for sure.
You know, and everything rises and falls on leadership. And correct. Alexander the Great said, an army of sheep led by a lion will defeat an army of lions led by a sheep. So the whole culture of an organization cascades from the leadership level. So if yeah. we have great coaches, we will have a culture of success. If we can get this thing going right with our leadership level, and yep. we can identify the people, and it doesn't happen the day you get elected. Kara's making a great point about elections.
Yeah.
Elections isn't the date when the influence started. Hopefully the people being nominated and moving up are ones that are already making an impact. Hopefully we've got people of great influence. We've got mm-hmm. people that don't need a title. They don't need a different color hat. They've taken the initiative to take on some things on their own. When there's a short staffing happening during the day and there's not an officer around, the stuff's getting done. So many times, that culture, you're absolutely right. The eagle culture, the duck culture resonates usually from the top. Now, it's hard to change it from the bottom up. It's happened. We've worked with some companies where you're working at lower level supervisory ranks to try and make a change up through the hierarchy. It can happen. It's very difficult to happen. The biggest payback for people hiring a Hearn Murphy is when we go into the C-suite or the executive suite or the officer level, because mm-hmm. they influence the largest number of people. So if you want to make an investment to turn your organization around, you start with your leaders and make them aware. And again, we're not going to beat people up. We're not going to go in there and, we're going to celebrate where they're at and talk to them about their plan to get to the next level.
Sure. We need to do a better, look, there are people out there that are just toxic leaders.
Yes.
One toxic leader can really do a number on an organization. Even if every other leader, mentor, senior man within that organization is completely on the opposite side, one top toxic person can really, really do damage, to yeah. people and to an organization. And yeah. and that's why it's so important for us as, as a fire service to recognize that when it's happening and, yeah. Do what we've got to do to right the ship, per se.
Right. And I've said this before on the podcast, that nothing will ruin a relationship with an employee like watching the employers tolerate all the bad employees, and that is a higher level too, right? So if all of the lower, like mid-level leadership is watching the, nest go up in flames and not doing anything about it, that's going to make everybody else say, I have no hope. I have sure. no hope for change. I have no hope for this to get better, because the leadership people can't or won't do it and won't step up. Yeah. And also bringing solutions is a huge part of that, because so many people confuse leadership with identifying problems. Mm-hmm. It's not leadership, and it doesn't take a higher level of skill to present a list of problems over and over again to mm-hmm. an audience.
It takes no IQ to identify a problem.
Right. If you're
so
just
anybody can come in with a list of problems.
Right. 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 And then that's all. It just becomes noise, because you're not bringing anything else to the table of how you're going to, bring solutions or bring positivity. I totally agree with Brian. If you are only working from the negative and trying to build positive on top of that, you have no foundation. You have to create a bricklayer of positivity first before you can build on that foundation.
I like the fact that you've hit on this positivity theme, Kara. I did download the emotional intelligence domains and competencies. Let's just talk about this for a second. This gets out there, but if you want to go hear the top speakers, now most of the people in the emotional intelligence domain start out as child psychologists. They start doing the marshmallow drill. Here, Kara, I'll give you one marshmallow. If you can wait 5 minutes and not eat it, I'll give you a second one, right?
Most people
can't wait, so that's delayed gratification. Do you have an ability to put off till tomorrow something that you could take for yourself right now? So the domains of this EQ we talked about first is self-awareness. Do you know how you sound? Do you know how you come off? Do you know how people are reacting to your message or your vibe or your body language is 55 to 75% of the message. Your tone is like 35% and the words are this. And if you're not aware of how many people you're alienating, you've failed the first tier of emotional intelligence. I have no awareness of how I'm coming off to people, right? And you can, Brian's comment about toxic people, many times they have no clue. We go in and do a 360 exam, ask the person to grade themselves, the boss grades them, their peers grade them, all the subordinates grade them. They're shocked at the outcome. How could people think so low of me?
Because sure,
there's no self-awareness. Next, it's self-management or self-regulation. When you feel like strangling somebody and screaming at the top of your lungs, do you have the ability to emotionally control yourself? Can you take, when I was coaching high school football, the greatest session I attended at a coaching high school football, all the coaches, we went to clinics every year as a group. All the coaches went to the clinics. We wanted to hear the top coaches around the country. Most of the jackwagon coaches are listening to the X and O guys that can draw up fancy plays. The great coaches are going to hear the psychology of winning. How can you help young people win in their mind? How can you be a positive influence to people? But that's just like similar to the fire service. So, and there, the best tip I ever heard was don't deal with that discipline problem today. Tell the player you'll talk to him about it tomorrow. Don't deal with it right then, because you're going to regret what you say. You're going to say something you didn't mean. Tell them tomorrow after practice, I want to see you. We're going to talk about what just took place here, and give yourself that time to really think about it.
It's like banging out the angry email, you know?
That's it. That's
just
it.
Don't bang it out if you want to, but just don't hit the send button.
Don't hit response. Don't
So emotional self-control, adaptability, achievement orientation. I can't tell you how many times I walk into an organization, fire service or any organization. What are the goals? What are we trying to achieve? And there are none. The goal is, I don't know. The goal is to survive. Our goal is to be alive. What is the goal? Achievement orientation, positive outlook. You know, part of this self-regulation, you have 80,000 thoughts a day that go through your head. Every day, 80,000 thoughts are going to pour through your head. You're drawn to your dominant thoughts. Can you take those 80,000 thoughts and be drawn in a positive outlook? Or are you going to be the energy draining toxic person? Brian's right. We find one energy draining, parasitic, blood sucking, card carrying member of the bitch, moan, and complain club will take the whole team down by 35%. That one person's on vacation for a week and they're not there. The whole team performs at a whole different level.
Yeah.
They come back from vacation and show up. The entire team is going to be downgraded with the presence of just this one. And so we get self-awareness, self-regulation. We've got goal orientation, we've got control, and the positive outlook. You know, so again, you start asking, do we have positive people or negative people? It's a social awareness is next, empathy. They feel for the high school kid, they feel for the kid with two young kids, they feel for an organizational awareness. They sense something's not right with our organization. They sense when the key people in the organization stop speaking, that's a signal, right? You know, it's and then it gets us to the relationship leadership, the ability to influence, the ability to coach and mentor, the ability to conflict manage, the ability to enhance teamwork, the ability to be an inspirational leader. That's level four, right? You got to build the foundation and the basement and the footings before we can get to the people hire us and say, hey, I want you to turn me into an inspirational leader. And the person has no clue about how they come off to people, right? So,
right.
We have to go back to the beginning on here, and you hit some great ones. Controlling your, you know, being self-aware, controlling yourself when you want to rip somebody's head off, taking a deep breath, positive outlook, goal orientation, achievement orientation are really foundational pieces here. So someone newly elected, Kara says, I'm newly elected. Man, if they're not assigning mentors, I would be asking for one. If I was a newly elected second lieutenant, I want a mentor. And I would go seek out the officer that I admire and respect most, the person I would run into fire and broken glass with, no matter what. And the person that I respect, you know, and I'd want to talk to that person. And, you know, you start out at the lowest level. Level one is position. And, you know, we all use this in our own life. I'm your father and I said so. That's a level one leader, right? I'm using my title to try and get people to follow me. And you go to level two by building relationships and trust. The foundational building block of a high performance championship team is trust. So if I don't trust that new second lieutenant and I'm a member of the rank and file, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a different journey, difficult journey. So
yeah, absolutely.
You know, so just, you know, building that relationship, building that trust, not trying to pull rank. My partner Murphy was revered. I spoke to a lot of people that flew with him. They'll talk to me about why he was different. He was different because he was a janitor in the Air Force who went to night school, lunch hour, weekend school to get a degree, late became an officer, and then, you know, graduated number one in pilot training. He was revered wherever he went because he never forgot where he came from. No matter what base he went to around the world, he would park his F-16. All the other pilots couldn't wait to get out of the cockpit and run up to the officers' club. He would park his F-16 and go into the hangar with the guys with the mops, the guys with the wrenches, the guys turning brooms, and he would tell them, I used to be one of you. Mm-hmm. And you don't know how much I appreciate the job you are doing. So I get to fly this jet for 2 hours, and it runs out of gas in 2 hours, right? Right. I get to fly this jet for 2 hours unless I midair refuel. But it takes 100 of you to allow me to make that mission possible. It takes the guys turning the wrenches and the armaments and the weather forecasters and the mid-air refuelers. And he never forgot where he came from. So my advice to a new officer, newly elected, or an old officer that's been in the ranks, don't ever forget where you came from, and build the relationship and build the trust. Take whatever time you need to build it. This running around barking orders and, you know, doing a bunch of the duck things isn't going to do it. And then I would say, when bad things happen, my advice to an officer, take full responsibility for it. When good things happen, give all the credit to the troops.
Yep. Absolutely.
And you'll start to make the climb.
Yeah.
Do you think that just in terms of the fire service, and Brian, maybe you have thoughts on this too. But because of our culture, as firemen, and kind of like the historic way that firefighters operate, you know, kind of in terms of emotional intelligence and emotional awareness, we're taught to shut off emotion, right? I think that sometimes there's a misconception or a lack of understanding that having empathy for your team and having empathy for your brothers and recognizing the value of your people can be accomplished, and you can have emotional intelligence about yourself and still be able to do the things we have to do the calls that we go on. Right. I think sometimes that wall gets built up, and then the wall becomes universal to all aspects of our lives. And it really doesn't need to be that way. But culturally, it's challenging when anybody hears the word emotion in the fire service, they're like, nope.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then worse yet, Kara, many people call it soft skills. So go into a bunch of rough, tough, you know, military people, firefighters, SWAT teams, and talk about soft skills. There's nothing soft about these skills I'm talking about that will get a group of people to want to follow you and do those great things. But I know it's there in the fire service, because there is no greater organization when tragedy strikes for fellow brothers and sisters, for family members, than the fire service. But my question is, why do we have to wait for someone to die?
Right.
Yeah, I'll share my thoughts on it right from that point, because I think that's a great point. If you're not a well-rounded leader, if you can't recognize things outside of what people expect you to recognize as a fire service leader. And when I say that, I mean, if like I should be able to tell when my people are having a bad day, just based on their demeanor, their facial expressions, how they speak to me, right? And they appreciate it you as a person and a leader even more if you're skilled to that degree where you can see somebody and have a conversation and then say, you know, just then take them to the side and say, hey, you know, is everything all right with you? You know, and they're like, well, yeah, why? You know, because then the front comes up, you know, well, yeah, why? I'm like, I don't know. You know, seem like you got something on your mind. You know, see, you just don't seem right. You know, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, holy shit, this guy's got me figured out, you know, and that means a lot, you know, I mean, that is extremely important to.
If you can open up that door and set a precedent that you're available for those conversations, it's a win for everybody because you're going to have better communication on all levels with your team. And if something is going on with them, they have recognized that they have a place to go with it rather than holding it in and letting it build and creating so many other issues that could be happening. And then that affects in turn performance. Well, and then they're not showing up.
Well, and then let's take it one step further, because then it goes the other way too. You know, look, there's times where I walk into the firehouse and I'm not having a great day, you know, or I'm not in a great mood. There's something going on in my life, and there's people that can pick that up with me and will be like, yo, hey, what's up? You know, or shoot me a text on the side and be like, hey, are you all right? You know? Yeah. So it goes both ways. And once somebody knows that you're willing to have those tough conversations, or that you just simply care, you know, they're going to give it back.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You know, my dad was a Syracuse police officer, and he passed, and they had the full Syracuse Police Honor Guard. The service was held at a church because there was going to be a large attendance at it. And it was a Holy Cross Church in DeWitt. And there's maybe 365 Syracuse cops. My dad had been out of the force for a while, but I think every one of the 365 Syracuse cops came through that line. The full honor guard, the police escort detail, the helicopter flying overhead, taking them to the, but I'll tell you, standing at that service at the wake, when the CAS fire department showed up, all these cops are coming through. Next thing my brothers and sisters are showing up in their blues.
Sure.
At times of tragedy, we know it's there. This ability to have empathy and being organizationally aware that I've got someone, a brother or sister, that's hurting and broken, and they need me right now. You know, I don't care if you're General Storm and Norman Schwarzkopf, or you're a great chief, Brian Soler. The guys that understand art of the heart are going to be there, because you want to talk about building loyalty forever. It's there. So we get from position to permission by building the trust and relationships. We then get to production level 3, and most of our guys are going to get burned out there, but now we've got numbers. The people trust us. We're there, but it doesn't work without you being there. Right. Sure. I mean, you're on every call. You got to be in the front seat. You got to be the one doing it all. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of my work that I'm spending with burned out leaders, they're stuck at level 3. And my job is to help them get to level 4, which is build your bench. So instead of answering every call, I want you developing that new second lieutenant that has no trust in relationships, and get that person in the seat, right? Give up your seat for that person. If it's certain calls, you're going to take the front seat again. But these other ones, you're going to want to get that person some experience, right? You want to be the one to make sure they get some action under their belt. So I think a lot of the themes, I believe it's all there. I believe it's all there in the fire service. I don't think people intentionally are going out of their way to, you know, do the duck example, Brian, but I think we just get beat up.
Yeah.
We get discouraged. And leadership, we talk to our people about leading up. We got a junior firefighter. He's 19 years old. He's, you know, college shut down because of COVID. So he's back with us. He was a high school kid with us, Isaac Wahlberger. He's 19 years old, 18 years old. He's a high school kid. He can lead up. He can inspire the chief, right?
Sure.
He knows.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
He can lead up to any of our officers by just saying, hey, I so love working with you on these calls. I learned so much by being with you. You know, this, You don't need a title to be a leader. All the things we're talking about, I like Brian saying, there's eagle cultures. There's cultures where this is what it's, you know, when you walk in, you can smell it, you can taste it, you can see it on the walls. You can just see the you know, it's alive. The other places you walk in, it smells like Bengay and it's dead and it's not going to be alive and they're not going to be around by the end of the month.
Yeah.
And it's just everybody screaming and yelling and bitching at each other.
You know, and to the point that you just made regarding, you know, leading up, look, I've got a great personal example of that. When I got on, when I got on as an instructor 17 years ago, the one of the guys that had been on the job for quite a few years, it was one of my instructors. He was like tapped out. He was done. He was tired of the bullshit. You know, he was just like, he was saying, oh, I'm not going to be here very longer. And when I got on, he was reinvigorated, you know, because I came in with such enthusiasm and such emotion, wanted to change the world, wanted to make all the programs better, you know, and he ended up teaching with me for another, you know, 10, 12 years, you know. And now I'm that senior guy and there's days where I'm like, oh God, you know, but now I've got kids coming in that have been my former students that are coming up to the instructor ranks. And I'm that guy, like I'm getting my, you know, I'm getting my drive from them because they're so excited and they want to learn and they want to make it better and do it better, you know? Right. So it's all a, you know, a constant,
fire starting.
Yeah, exactly. Fire starting.
Yep. That's what it is. It's
when you take a leader role, you should be looking for who's going to replace you.
Yeah.
You know, and pick that person and start working with them. Like Tim, you gave a great example in our department of Isaac. Isaac is my current mentee and we've worked together a lot and you know, his enthusiasm is contagious. He, as you pointed out, he's young and he came to us as a junior and he went away to college. COVID shut him down. He had to come back. And we're so happy to have him, you know, back with us. And I think some departments would say, well, you're putting all this effort and training into this kid that may not stay with you because he's 18. He's going to go back to college or he's going to go somewhere else. He already, you know, started with the department up where his college is, you know. We have, it's like, you know, thinking globally and acting locally, you know, we want to build these guys up and make them excited about the fire service and lead them and turn them into leaders for the benefit of the fire service. I love if Isaac stayed with us, you know, forever, but if he goes somewhere else and takes what he learned with us and keeps that level of enthusiasm at his next department, and then passes that on to a younger member wherever that is, then that's an immeasurable gift that we've given for the fire service, for the greater good, for the brotherhood.
I think you were listening in on one of our county Zoom calls this week because we had this exact conversation because we have a recruitment and retention committee together and we're looking at things globally on how we can help everybody, all the organizations in the county work together to, you know, recruit and retain and build mentorship programs and all this stuff. And that was one of the exact conversations, you know, oh, we get somebody and they're only here for 2 years because there's nothing in our community and they're out of here and they're gone. Okay.
Right.
You know, but I get it. It's, you know, it's frustrating because you want to retain that member, but at the same thing at this, you know, globally, you're giving something to the fire service, right? To the fire service. And that's important. There's something to be said for that.
Absolutely.
Positive outlook is part of our emotional intelligence series we just talked about. Why would a person plant 100 trees that he'll never see the shade from? So there's only one question on the final exam. Most people live on Someday Isle. Most people go to the grave with the music in their hearts. There's one question on the final exam. While you're on earth, what did you do with your life? And Kara's got a lot of things she can write down. Isaac Wahlberger is going to be one of them, right? It's changing that kid's life. He's a different person. He's going to be you know, whatever he's given what he's giving to our fire service, but you can impact people in this business, this profession. You can really change a person's heart and soul. You can get them to play much bigger than they ever thought they could play. You could get them out of their comfort zone, way into a courage zone. You could have them. This is an opportunity to do great work, to give back, but it's also character building. It can also do a lot of things for people. I did mention the Schweitzer quote that I love. I look at this every morning when I calculate my days. In everyone's life, at some time, our inner fire goes out. Brian, you talked about an example with the trainer. It's happened to me. It's happened to all of us. When I know that fire I used to have inside me is gone, and I move it around with a stick, and I barely get an ember that I can see still glowing. It is then burst into flame by an encounter with another human being. We should all be thankful for those people who rekindle the inner spirit. Leadership is an art of the heart. It's a fire starter. You know, our service is to put the fire out in all places except one, inside the hearts of the people that are our greatest resource. It's job one. It's the number one priority. If that's not the first thing we talk about when we gather to talk about anything, we're talking about the wrong thing. And it's our job to continue to light that fire. We got to help ourselves find it in ourselves. We got to be open to the people that can help us light our own when we lose it.
Yep.
And I don't lose any, my flame loses none of its power by helping to light the flame of another. As a matter of fact, my flame will grow stronger by doing that.
Absolutely.
And look, that's part of the positivity that we were talking about before on some of these, on some of these topics, you know, being a fire starter, igniting a fire in somebody else, right. Continuing to stay positive and focus on positive things. Cause there is so much positive in the things that we do. Like you started this podcast out by saying, you know, with the percentage of people that do what we do, it's very, very small. Right. But
here, you know,
I had a boss, even in when bad things happen, I worked for a boss once, really, you know, challenging environment. It was a very tough environment. And when I would really screw something up bad, he would, and we had these infamous 5:55 a.m. meetings, 6 days a week, the whole company's tied into these meetings. And he'd say, everybody, let's thank Tim. He screwed up, you know, royally. He made this horrific thing happen. And because he did that, we are a better company. No one will ever screw up that mistake, you know, the way Tim did, you know, because of his mistake. But he would grab me right after that meeting and pull me into his office. He said, Tim, you know, everybody thinks really highly of you here. And the fact that I came after you today in that meeting and made an example out of you makes everybody, you know, feel, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he says, you know, even when we have to have a hard discussion about something that didn't go right, we can do it in a positive light. We don't have to demean anybody. We don't have to ridicule people.
Right.
And make a positive out of it.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Good stuff. Kara, what other questions did you have? We're at about an hour right now. So,
I think we touched on a lot of what the feedback was from the listeners. So I really want to thank Tim for taking, you know, another one of his 500 plus Sundays that are left.
Yep. And, 521. Yeah.
Sharing them with us and with our listeners, because they, you know, if you look at even at the YouTube comments, they're like, when is part two? And, you know, so I think it's going to be, it's nice to have the opportunity to have you back to continue the conversation. We really appreciate your time.
I'm typically not a stats or numbers guy when it comes to the podcast, just because I don't want to get, you know, I don't want to get wrapped up in that aspect of it. Like whoever's listening is listening, you know, and we know that it's probably most of the Eagles that are listening to these podcasts. Right. But, you know, our first episode together for a long time was our most highly downloaded and viewed on YouTube. So we definitely gave a lot of valuable information to to some people. And I really appreciate that, Tim. It's great. You know, and thank you for all of it.
I'm proud of you, Brian, you and Kara. Keep it going. Keep it alive. It matters. This stuff matters. You have no idea who you're helping, and know that there's ears out there and hearts that can be helped with this.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm hoping that as we come out of this, as we come out of this whole pandemic situation, that the next time that we do this, maybe we'll do it around somebody's kitchen table, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
because I love the Zoom thing. It's been great for the last year. We've interviewed a lot of amazing people, but I'm ready to shake some hands and like actually physically see some folks, you know?
Well, we do training. We're doing training every day, Brian. Same thing. There's an energy when you're in the room with people that you can't match this way. So we're doing it. We're making it through that. But now people want to be back in the rooms. When we graduate them, we can't give them a bear hug and hand them their certificate. But we're getting closer to that too.
I just recently taught a virtual conference with a buddy of mine and a couple of the local folks to me that know me were in on it, and. I'm trying to get them to just unmute themselves. Like I'm trying to pull them out of the screen because that's just my style. Right? Like that's my teaching style. And one of the local guys said to me, I knew it was killing you. You're because I know how you are when you're teaching, you're around the room and you're trying to engage with people. And I could feel you trying to like get people to engage over that computer screen. And it was like crickets, you know, it's tough.
So my last comment, I guess, Brian, for all of our listeners, nothing changes until something changes.
Yep.
And we want to change for the good, not the bad. And if I had to pick one thing that I would focus on for myself, for the people I love in my life, or anybody that's on this broadcast, they say, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. So when they drown-proof Navy SEALs, when they train US Olympic athletes, it starts with attitude. If you change those 80,000 thoughts a day going through your head, you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. We all the verbs of leadership, modeling, inspiring, challenging, complacency, enabling, encouraging, attitude is a critical component of every one of those. Climbing the five levels, you need to have that positive outlook, that positive attitude. So the cynicism and the sarcasm and the gossiping and the backbiting and all that crap, let some of the other people deal with that.
We don't, agreed.
We don't have time for that. So.
Absolutely.
Keep up the great work. I'm proud of you too. Brian, I'm proud of this. You're on your way to 100. And I now find myself pulling these up and listening to them myself.
Well, that's good.
I'm a new follower myself. So I really enjoy it.
That's awesome. We're happy to hear that. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, you know, it just kind of started as an idea and threw it out there and just said, let's see how this goes. And it's amazing how many people that we have been able to connect with and learn from and you know, that have just become friends and mentors, and it really has been great. So we're not going anywhere soon. I know that, you know. Sure. So looking forward to getting to that I think, I don't know, there is going to be a slight sigh of relief when I get to that 100 number. I don't know why, you know, for some reason, that's the number everybody's focused on, is that 100. So once I get there, I think I'm going to just kind of sigh and be like, all right, we hit 100. Now let's just keep on going.
Great. So, awesome.
Tim, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Truly appreciate your time and, you know, spending time with us again and doing this and, on a Sunday evening, for those who don't realize when we're recording this, but we appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Take care.
Bye.